these merry positive characteristics, we're going to learn how to be bright, reflecting the light of Jesus in our everyday lives, especially as we ramp up into this Christmas season, or as we're in this Christmas season. So hopefully last week you kind of like took to heart what we learned about meditation. You spent some time, I think the challenge was 10 minutes of quiet time meditating during your devotions. Hopefully you did that. If you didn't, start doing that, because it's going to really help you in your walk with the Lord. Now today's topic is this: merry people live by faith and not in fear. When we live by faith, we shine bright for Jesus. So we can say that faith is really kind of the opposite of fear. In Hebrews 11, we have a definition of faith. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. But in opposition, fear is this: an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. That's not in the Bible, that's just Webster's dictionary. But notice, fear is a belief, okay? So where faith is the assurance of things hoped for, which is a belief, right? And the conviction of things not seen, we have a strong belief in the Lord. We don't necessarily see him, but we have a strong belief in him. Well, when you're afraid, when you live in fear, you actually have a belief based upon something, maybe unseen, maybe perceived, maybe thought up. So God wants people to live by faith, while the enemy Satan wants people to live in fear. Okay, that's basically something that you have to kind of mentally file. God wants you to live by faith. Satan wants you to live by fear. Living in fear will not be helpful for us. It will make us negative people that can't shine for Jesus. Now, some of you might not believe that from me, but I'm sure you'll take it from the Jedi Master Yoda that fear is negative, okay? Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. Notice, all negatives, right? Fear, anger, hate, suffering. So the question then becomes this: how do we live by faith and not live in fear? How do we live by faith and not live in fear? Well, Paul kind of answers that. There's plenty of answers in the scriptures, but I want to focus in on Romans chapter 8, verse 5, and it says this: for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. So the answer is, set our minds on things of the Spirit rather than things of the flesh. So now we have to ask ourselves this question: well, what are the things of the Spirit? Now, through a study in the scriptures, there's many things of the Spirit. Actually, Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. But I want to really focus in on the fear aspect and kind of the things of the Spirit that go against fear. In 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul actually teaches young Timothy. He says this to him. He says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, of love, and self-control. So Paul is telling Timothy, our sinful flesh, if we live by that, the result will be a spirit of fear. So if we live by the flesh, if we set our minds on things of the flesh, we'll live by fear. But if we set our minds on things of the Spirit, we'll live by faith. Because here's what happens. When we set our minds on things of the flesh, our sinful flesh, the result is fear. And here is why. Because we live like we are dependent on ourselves. Okay? When you set your mind on things of the flesh, you're living as if you're dependent on yourself rather than being dependent on God. Now, deep down, we all know that we can't control things. And it makes us fearful. Okay, if you're honest with yourself, deep down, we all know we can't control things. So then we're afraid. And that's why we worry. That's why we overthink things. That's why we're overly concerned. On the contrary, the Spirit in us is the Holy Spirit. God himself is not a fearful spirit, but the effective nature of that Holy Spirit on us, based upon this verse, is actually threefold: power, love, self-control. And when we live by those things, what happens is we start to live by faith. It increases our faith. So then the question becomes this: how do we live by the spirit of power, the spirit of love, the spirit of self-control? And that's really what we're going to study today, okay? How we live by these three things: power, love, and self-control. So the first is power, okay? The spirit of power. Now, Chapman University out in California has been doing a survey every year since 2014. So for one decade, okay, they've been doing a survey and they've been asking people what their top fears are. Now, do you know what has held the number one position for the whole entire decade? Now, this was a surprise to me, but now when I think about it, it's really not a surprise at all. It might be a surprise to you at first, but when you think about it, it's not a surprise. The top fear that American people have had for the past 10 years is this: corrupt government officials. Think about that. Now, think about us people who live in New Jersey over the last month, okay? What's going on, right? Okay? I'm hoping it's E.T., okay? Because he's cute. But here's the thing. Don't go home and be like, Pastor Mike believes in aliens, okay? I don't. Except for Yoda. He's cool. No, okay. So here's the thing. We are afraid, in some senses, of corrupt government. Now, the more that I think about this, I can see why that topped the list for the past 10 years. People are afraid of those in power. So here we have a spirit of fear in America that people in power will what? Do the wrong thing. But in 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul says, we have been given a spirit of power. So that spirit of power is from God, because God is omnipotent, meaning he is all powerful. Because many times people that had power, or people that were in power in our lives or were in charge, did not do the right things, all of a sudden we become afraid. So here's how it works. That attacks our faith. When we see people in charge, people in power, not do the right thing and are corrupt, what happens is it actually attacks our faith. When they don't do their job, when they don't protect the people, it attacks our faith. So here's what happens. When people in power let us down, deceive us, it plants this seed in our minds that we can't trust anyone in power. Right? That's the seed that's planted. We can't trust anyone in power. But then here's what happens. And here's Satan and his demons' tool. Here's what happens. We apply the fears we have of people in charge to a God who is in charge. You get that? We apply what we feel about the people in charge to a God who is in charge. In other words, because we don't trust people who are in charge, we have a hesitation about trusting God who is in charge. Now, here's how it works, because maybe this has happened in your life. Something bad happens. God didn't stop it. So now we start to think, well, God could have stopped it, but he didn't. So we lose faith in his power, or even worse, we don't trust him, meaning we don't feel safe. So we live in fear. So we think to ourselves, a God who is all powerful, let this bad thing happen to me. How can I possibly trust him if this happened? So then we start to apply this to our lives, and we have many fears. And everybody's fears are a little bit different. Obviously, the surveyed Americans are all corrupt government officials, but there's other fears, right? There's a list of 10. You can look back and see all the 10 every single year. And a lot of them were like fear of sickness, fear of someone being sick around us, fear of losing a loved one, the common things that you would expect that would be on a list like that. But maybe today you're afraid that your needs won't be met. You're afraid your needs won't be met. Maybe you're like looking at Christmas and saying, oh man, I want a nice Christmas for the kids and this and that, and everything's not going to be met. And you start to worry about that. And you forget about scriptures like Philippians 4:19, when Paul says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Maybe you're afraid that God will not be there for you. You forget what the scriptures say in Psalms when it says in Psalm 46:1-3, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Maybe you're afraid that God won't be there and you forget scriptures like this. He's present no matter what we're going through. We're safe with him. Maybe you're afraid and anxious about a decision you have to make. Maybe you're set with a big decision right before you. What to do in life, what career to choose, where to go, what to do. And you're like, oh no, what am I going to do? Who can I trust? Who can I go to for guidance? The scriptures tell us, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. You see, fear is unbelief or weak faith or weak belief. There's no power in fear, but fear takes over when we give power to it in our lives. You get that? There's no power in fear, but fear takes over when we give it power in our lives. Fear gains the upper hand in our thoughts. It takes hold of our emotions. Our deliverance from fear has to be based on faith, and our faith needs to be based on the power of God. So then we have to ask this question, the spirit of power, where does it start? Okay, where does it start? Paul tells us in Romans 1, here's where it starts. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the what? Power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the gospel is where it starts. Hey, maybe some of you are new here. Maybe you haven't heard this before. Maybe you heard this every single week that you've been coming here, but you never really trusted in Christ. The truth is this, that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus came to die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. Jesus, in power, rose from the grave to prove that he is God. And the scriptures say, all who believe will have eternal life. God is powerful enough to forgive you of your sin and deliver you and save you so you're with him for eternity. That's where the power starts. So Paul says, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. It's powerful. I don't care what this world says. What I believe is the gospel is powerful. It's powerful for the salvation of everyone who what? Believes. Not everyone who goes to church. Not everyone who does good deeds. Everyone who believes. So the gospel shows us the power we have in our relationship with Jesus. And the more we recognize that and believe that, the more faith will grow in us. The more our faith grows, the more our fears subside. See how that works? The more our faith grows, the more our fears subside. But God doesn't only give us power and show his power so we live and are positive and merry. He doesn't only give us power for that. He actually gives us power so that we can shine bright for him. He gives us power to shine bright for him. Do you know what Jesus said in his parting words? His ascension. Okay. After the resurrection, he spent 40 days teaching, being with everybody, and then he ascended. Acts 1, chapter 8. This is what Jesus said. Parting words. Okay, mind you, parting words from this earth. This is what he says. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The power we have from the Holy Spirit is so that we can be bright witnesses for him. You know, so many people struggle with purpose in life. I'm actually going to do a message in a few weeks about purpose, like married people live by their purpose. Well, let me tell you in the simplest form what your purpose is. Right here, okay? To be witnesses, to be a light for Jesus. And you're like, that sounds pretty simple. And then you try to do it, right? And you're like, wow, that's pretty hard, okay? But really, when we narrow it down, the purpose of every believer that walks on this earth is to be a witness. But what does God do for us? He gives us the Holy Spirit of power to do that. So when you think, I can't talk to anybody about the Lord, God has given you power through the Holy Spirit. I can't remember scripture to tell people about the Lord. God has given you power. I can't remember like the arguments for the existence of God. God gives you power to remember those things. God gives you power to walk into those situations and be there and not be afraid and not be ashamed in those situations. See, when we live by the Spirit of power, it will increase our faith and it will extinguish our fears. Now, our next way to live by faith and not by fear is love. There's so much about love in the scriptures. I'm not even going to scratch the surface today, but I want to highlight what the Spirit of love does in our lives. And the first thing that love does in our lives is it casts out fear. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. So there's two things here. The first is love casts out fear. John tells us here, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Now, John is talking about the love God has for us. Fear has to do with punishment. For the believer, this is important, there is no punishment. Okay, there is no eternal punishment for the believer. For those that believe in Jesus, we escape eternal punishment. That's why when you see Jesus on the cross, I remember being a little kid, you go to church, see Jesus on the cross, and be like, what's going on here, right? Why is God on a cross? Why is he suffering? And then later in my life, I found out, oh, it was for me. Because of his great love, I don't have to fear that punishment. For the believer, we don't have to fear punishment, or in other words, paying for our sins, because that is what Jesus did for us. So we're perfected by the love of Jesus. That doesn't mean you're perfect now, but that means in eternity, you're perfected, okay? So that's the first thing. The second thing is love empowers us to love, okay? We love because he first loved us. This love all flows from the faith that we have in a God who loves us. Because we all realize this, love is not easy to act in. And that's because many people do not fully understand love. Okay, love's not easy to act in. Many people do not fully understand love. I'm going to recommend a book, a great read about love, or a listen. You can like download it from the library app. A great read on this is The Four Loves by C.S. Lewis. I think he wrote it in 1966. And Lewis teaches the greatest love is the love that God has for us. And in fact, that love will empower us to love friends and family and just general mankind. This is exactly the reason why we need to focus on God's love for us daily, because as soon as we lose sight of this, it's going to be difficult to love the people around you. Here's why. Let's be honest with ourselves. Are we lovable? Are you lovable? You might think you are, okay? But here's the problem. We hurt people. We annoy people. We let people down. We might deceive people. We do wrong to people because we are sinful people. So that makes us hard to love. Let's turn it around. People do wrong to you. They hurt you. It makes you have a hard time loving them. I hope I'm not the only one that thinks this, okay? I think we all realize when these things happen, we get offended. We start to hate, maybe. Or we are afraid to love other people again. Somebody offends us, hurts us, we're broken. You ever notice when somebody does like an atrocious crime, then we start to learn a little bit more about that background? Do you know their background is never like, yeah, well-loved, everything was good. There's always some like dark secret, right? Something that happened to this person. They're like, now I know why they're so messed up. They're broken and no one fixed them, or they didn't get fixed by the Lord. Whatever it is, here's what happens. When hate or mistreatment or hurt or anything comes at us, it whittles away at us. And we focus on that. And then when we focus on that, it makes it very hard for us to love. That's why the believer needs to spend time with the Lord every day and focus in on his love for us, because we have the power to love because he first loved us. When we know we're loved by God, we don't have to live in fear. Then we could choose to live by faith. So now, when negative things happen to me from people around me, I could still be positive and merry. Because I say, okay, you know what? Yeah, these people wrong me. Family, friends, whatever it is, they wrong me. But I have a God who loves me. I am important to that God because he was willing to die for me. He loves me. Nothing can change that. No person can change that. Now, all of a sudden, I could walk as a person that's like, yeah, it's all good. You know, the people around me, they're not that great, but he loves me. And what this does is now it frees us up for opportunities to be bright lights for Jesus, to love others regardless of their love towards us. Because if we're honest with ourselves, when somebody wrongs us, harms us, hurts us, what do we want to do? Get back at them, right? Okay, let's be honest. We all have that. Okay, he did this to me, she did this to me. I want to get back at him. But you know what? When we are reminded of Christ's love, then we have to say, well, what did Christ do for me? And how can I apply that now to the people around me? Jesus says to his disciples, you guys have opportunities all the time to be witnesses for me, and here is how. A new command I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. See, when we live by the spirit of love, it will increase our faith. It will extinguish our fears. And here's what happens. We'll be a light. We'll be a bright light. Now, our final way to live by faith and not in fear is by a spirit of self-control. Now, this is kind of an odd one. Okay. Self-control is an odd term, and here's why. Because it seems to put the emphasis and dependence on self. And if you remember earlier, I said dependence on self will ultimately result in fear and not faith. Okay. Dependence on self will ultimately result in fear and not faith. So how does this work? Well, Galatians 5 tells us that one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. So how does self-control produce this faith? Okay, so the fruits of the Spirit are things that we should see coming out of our lives because the Holy Spirit lives in us. One of those things is self-control. So how does that self-control produce faith? I'll tell you. Here's how it works. The spirit of fear says, I can't. Okay, the spirit of fear says, I can't. The spirit of self-control says, I can in Christ. You get that? It's not just I can. I can in Christ. I can with the help of Christ, which essentially is having faith that Jesus can use me to accomplish his work. He can work through me. He can use me as a vessel of his own to actually accomplish things that he desires me to accomplish. Now, Paul teaches us this. Paul teaches us this in Philippians 4:13. He says this, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. A very popular verse, right? You've heard this before. Sports players write it on their arms and on their eyes and stuff like that. They write it on their faces and they're like, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But the all things here are things that God declared. I want you to pay attention close to this. The all things here are things that God declared as humanly possible and divinely reasonable. What do I mean by that? I'm not going to jump off a building and flap my wings and think I can fly because of this verse, okay? Not humanly possible, not divinely reasonable. God's not going to say, well, I should make them fly. He's going to be like, there's one of my dumb kids, sorry. Yeah. So, but let's take some real world examples because nobody's doing that, okay? So for example, maybe you're struggling with a sin that seems like you'll never have victory over. Maybe it's that creepy sin that keeps on coming back and you never seem to have victory over that. In the spirit of self-control, relying on Christ, you actually can. And when you do, it increases your faith. But when you do not rely on Christ, you try to do it on your own, you fail, you may give up, and then you start living in fear, and that fear is of trying again. I've tried that. Didn't work. You know, sometimes people will come to me and be like, Pastor Mike, I need to talk to you. I have this problem or issue. And I'm like, okay, let's work through it. Let's, talk about what the Bible says, talk about some of your options, this and that. There are some people that come and talk, I tried that, doesn't work. I tried that, doesn't work. I tried that, doesn't work. Tried that, doesn't work. It's like, well, you obviously don't really want to accomplish anything here. If that's your mindset, based on that is if you've tried things, it doesn't work, then you're afraid of trying again instead of having faith that God will provide a way out, that God has some way for you, and part of that is reliance on Him. Another example, maybe not to do with sin, but maybe you have a goal to accomplish, something that's very difficult, something that will take a lot of self-discipline. Maybe it's like, something in your job, something in your schoolwork, something like you have a goal and you're like, this is going to be hard. It's going to take some self-discipline. It's going to take some self-control. You're afraid of failing. Maybe, just maybe, you're afraid of trying because you feel like if you fail, other people will think less of you. Now, in the spirit of self-control, relying on Christ, He will help you accomplish those goals. And when you do, it increases your faith. But then some of you are like, but what if I fail? What if I fail? Well, should you live in fear now? No. If you fail and don't have victory in that area, now you have to ask God, what are you trying to teach me? I thought I had this opportunity. What are you trying to teach me in this? I've had times in my life where there were things that I really, really, really wanted to accomplish, and God was like, no, no, no. So I could have either lived in fear or said, well, God, what do you want to teach me through this? How am I supposed to respond to this? How am I supposed to move forward? And I can track back to those situations where I've felt like that, where I've prayed like that, where I've looked at God and said, give me this accomplishment or whatever. And then I looked and said, okay, God said no. But then years down the road, it opened up doors of opportunity for other things that were so much better than I ever imagined. So this is where we have to act in faith. We have to trust Him. This spirit of self-control, knowing when it's time to stop or knowing when it's time to press on, knowing when it's time to learn something, knowing when it's time to realize, okay, this is what God has for me. It's just going to take more self-discipline, more self-control, or whatever. So how do we use the spirit of self-control now to shine bright? Because this whole series about like marrying positive people, right? Then they shine bright. So Galatians 2:20, Paul tells us that. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We live by faith in Him. Day by day. That's why we spend time with Him day by day, because it's an act of faith saying, God, You're in control. I'm going to spend time hearing from You in Your Word. I'm going to spend time praying to You. I'm going to spend time meditating on the things that You have because I want to be the person that lives by faith in You. We can live by faith in so many other things, but those other things will fail. And when they do, we're going to be afraid. We're going to live in fear. We as Christian believers in 2024, moving into 2025, don't have to live in fear. Even though it seems like there's a lot of things to be afraid of, we don't have to live in fear. When we allow Christ to live through us, we no longer live in fear. We live by faith, and that will make us merry and help us to shine bright for Him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. Thankful for each person that's here. I just pray that You would increase our faith, to extinguish our fears, so that we could be those merry, positive people that shine bright for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.